Let us now discuss the fourth chapter for this particular topic, which is essentials of creating the right impression in the interview. In fact, this is a very important thing that needs to be considered, and it overlaps with several chapters in this particular topic. We have also discussed some of these essentials in the past few chapters in several slides, because it is one of the primary constituents for an effective and a successful interview. So let's look what we have in store here. So you would be able to understand after going through this chapter the essential tips and the do's and don'ts of how you can go about the interview and impress the interviewer. The technique of mirroring personality is a very useful technique which can be used to mirror personalities. That is, the way the people speak, you can actually flex and mirror them. We'll see how. The critical elements of the interview etiquette would also be looked at here and discussed, as well as the manners in a job interview. So there is a certain required etiquette which is a prerequisite for interviews, for them to be effective and you to look professional. So what are those particular manners? What's the element of etiquette and courtesy that is required? We'll look at here in this chapter. Let's start with the introduction now. The first 5 minutes of your interview are very important. In these first 5 minutes, the key factors are your appearance, of course. Appearance, your grooming, we have discussed grooming. Appearance is, of course, nothing but the way you wear your clothes, the way your hair is. If you are a lady, the way you've worn the makeup, if you're wearing any light perfume, what are the kind of shoes that you've worn for the interview, and so on. So all these things relate to the appearance. The grooming, we've seen, is how well your hair is, whether you're wearing the right deodorant, preventing any odor, whether you've shaven very well, it's not a thick beard that you're wearing which is looking unclean, and so on. The next element is your handshake. So this is also an important element. The handshake is important because nowadays many people are able to analyze people with the way they shake hands. If it's a very limp or loose handshake, you might not have the required personality or the cut for the organization. Where it's a very hard, stiff handshake, again, you might appear to have a superiority complex. So the handshake should also be appropriate. It should be firm, but not too forceful. It should not be too limp as well. The next point is your personal presence. So the way you portray yourself, the way you behave in an interview. Next element is your eye contact. So eye contact is extremely important. The eye contact signifies confidence that you have. If you have the right eye contact with the interviewer, the communication happens in a better manner. Your articulation. Now articulation here has two connotations or two meanings. The articulation can mean how well you think, how well you articulate your thoughts. What is the thought process? So if you are asked about any previous examples, any challenging questions, how well do you articulate your thoughts and respond? So that's one connotation or meaning of articulation. The second meaning of articulation is how well do you enunciate or articulate your words. All right, so how well do you move your mouth to sound clear? How well is your articulation of the words? So is there enough clarity in what you are speaking? Do you open your mouth properly to speak, or do you lock your mouth and mumble the words? So a good amount of articulation that is effective needs to be in the form of thought process as well as the kind of words that you utter. Notice that the work experience was not mentioned here. The reason is these are the very first 5 minutes. Probably the interviewer may not even go into those depths right now at this juncture. Okay, so these 5 minutes are basically used for settling in the room or at the venue. These 5 minutes are probably used to breaking the ice either by you or the interviewer. Okay, so these are called as the soft factors that will take you to the next level. Thus, the interview consists of three distinct steps. The first step is the process or step of establishing a rapport. Now, what is a rapport? Rapport basically means establishing relationships of trust, establishing certain common connections between you and the people who are entrusted upon to take your interview. The next stage is or phase is to gather information. So it's a two-way process wherein information is gathered via open and close-ended questions. Okay, now two-way because either you can ask the interviewer questions pertaining to the organization, the working style, the culture. Of course, the interviewer will ask you several questions regarding yourself, which might encompass factors like your professional experience, your leadership qualities, the strengths and weaknesses that you have, your aspirations, and so on. The last distinct step is the closure or the close. In this particular step, you simply go ahead, you know, the interviewer will inform you, will intimate you that the interview needs to be finished. Now, here it is vitally important to understand these basic steps. Now, an understanding of these basic steps is a requisite. Why? Because you need these steps and their understanding to be successful and effective at any given interview. Each of these steps, they carry with it a different focus and emphasis. So that's the reason why they are distinct. They are called as distinct steps in the interview process. Each step has its own protocol and requirements. So protocol meaning you can say certain set standards which are expected out of the entities who are involved in these particular rounds of interview. The successful completion of each step is critical for you to go on to the next step. So people who do not, you know, do well in the first step probably will not be, you know, admitted to the second step, or the interviewer will think of a rejection in the first step itself if the candidate is not found fit enough. So as I said, the successful completion of each step is critical for you to go on to the next step in the process, whether that be another interview or the actual job offer. Well, we have discussed three distinct steps in the last slide. The first amongst these is the step of establishing the rapport. So this is a step where the vital first impressions are formed. This is extremely important because, as the saying goes, first impressions are the last or lasting impressions. In this context, some employers will claim to be able to make a decision about a candidate in 30 seconds or less. So interviewers are people who have a wide range of experience. Many of them, you know, are in the field for 10 years, 20 years, or even more than 3 decades. So by constantly interviewing people, these interviewers have got a good hang of interviewing and, of course, human psychology. So they don't need to speak with a candidate for hours on an end, because they are well aware and they are adept at the process of interviewing. So they will be able to understand whether a person meets the standards or not. The truth here is that you will set the tone for the interview through your personal appearance and initial responses. So it's not the interviewer, it's all, the onus is on you. So whether you aspire to clear all the interviews and join a prestigious organization, or you fail at it just because you were not able to strike a chord with the interviewer, or you are not able to create the right impression or set of impressions with the interviewer. So it's, as you know, mentioned in this particular bullet point, the onus or the responsibility is upon you, the candidate who's been interviewed. Let's move on. The second stage of this particular interviewing process, or the second distinct step, is gathering information step. Here in this particular stage or step, the employer will be asking questions and matching your answers against their critical success factors. So this stage is where a lot of data and information about you is collected, okay, and is set against a preset benchmark which is there, and the interviewers check whether you fit that benchmark. While preparation is important, your honesty and sincerity in answering should be evident in this stage. Most interviewers are keenly aware of when they are being lied to. As goes with the first step of establishing rapport and understanding a person within 30 seconds, people are also adept. People, meaning the interviewers, they're also adept at this particular stage. So they will understand whether, you know, through the tone of your voice, through the eye contact, through the statements that you say, whether you are saying the truth or whether you are lying. So if you are lying, they will probably probe you more in order to understand whether you know, you can prove or you can produce some evidence against the statements that you've said. The questions in this step will usually be probing questions which will drill deep into your background, attempting to get past the interview veneer. That means there is a certain set screen which the interviewer will have and will, you know, provide questions in order for you to move out of that barrier. The next step is the close step. In the close step, the interviewer will set the hook for the next step. So if you have succeeded to this point, the conversation will center on the interviewer selling you on the company and the next steps in the hiring process. So the interviewer will actually give out the benefits of working in the organization. Well, this is the last stage, that is the close stage. If you have succeeded to this point, the conversation will center on the interviewer selling you on the company and the next steps in the hiring process. If you have failed to this point, the conversation will center on either the cricket team, the weather, or any other neutral subject which provides a clean disengage. If your interview was successful, there will usually be an indication of future steps. So future steps such as discussions on the salary, your date of joining, what you're comfort about, you know, getting release from the previous company if you're working, and so on. You may be given further company information which is reserved for only the select few. Now we look at the process of mirroring personalities. This technique is the secret to successful interviewing. There is a simple key to success in interviewing that very few people utilize. It is the process of mirroring the personality of the person to whom you're speaking, a process that is referred to as personality matching. It is based upon the proven fact that we like people who are like us. So if you are, let us say, a very analytical kind of a person, generally it is found that such people gel well with other people who have an inclination towards problem solving and an analytical kind of a behavior. If a person is very talkative, who loves to be friendly with people, they will find other people like them, and of course there will be a group of people like that who will gel well. So It is thus the proven fact that we like people who are like us. It is thus the halo effect in action. So anyone who is like me must be a good person. In short, the result is an instant rapport. So the halo effect looks at, you know, similarities between you and the other person. So if there are remarkable similarities, then you think the person must be really good and of course fit for the job. Personality matching, of course, does not mean perfect matching. It is not possible to do that because each person is created in a unique manner, has a unique mindset and a unique thought process. So it would be a miracle to match the person in a perfect manner. But you can match the person in a close manner. So it does not mean that we should not do our best to come as close as possible to matching the other person's personality within the bounds of our own personality range. Keep in mind that there is no perfect personality, since what is perfect to one will always be lacking in some way to another. So this is what needs to be understood, needs to be focused upon when you are going through an interview. Perfection, of course, is a factor which is relevant to the recipient. So perfection at times can mean very good matching, very close matching, or a mismatch as well. As a side note, think about someone you truly dislike. In most cases, it's because the person is outside your personality range. For example, let us consider the story of let us say Mr. Krishna Sawant. Okay, Mr. Krishna Sawant is an operational manager in a chemical plant. Another person, Mrs. Juhi Kumar, okay, is an HR manager in the same plant. Mrs. Juhi Kumar is a people's person, okay, who follows an intuitive approach to life and is not much of an analytical person. Whereas Mr. Krishna Sawant is exactly the opposite. He does not believe in hunches or intuition, follows a closely analytical analysis of any and every problem, and does not believe too much in liaising or connecting with people. Now, of course, these two personalities, when they interact in the plant, often sparks fly. Now, we can understand why that happens, because they are well outside each other's personality range. In this case, many are usually in the upper extreme, that is too loud, too pushy, too cocky, too egoistic, too stuffy, etc. They are too much of something that you don't embrace in your personality. So, many times you observe such people who are too, you can say, aggressive and too loud. So many people do not like to associate or match such kind of people. But, if you have a too much area in your own personality, you are best advised to bring it under strict control, not only in interviewing, but in your life in general as well. In this and the next slides, we'll look at the essential interview tips. These include aspects like plan ahead. Of course, an elaborate explanation for each is provided in the next few slides, as you can see. So the first is planning ahead, followed by the aspect of role play, followed by eye contact, followed by the aspect of being positive, followed by adapting, by listening and adapting, followed by relating, and the angle of encouragement. So let's look at the first interview tip, which is nothing but planning ahead. In this context, it's important to do a lot of homework, or do little homework at least. In fact, we have looked at this in the preparation phase in the last, in one of the last chapters. In this context, we've seen that it is quintessential or a prerequisite to research the company and the position, if possible, as well the people you will meet at the interview. So along with the company and the position, also try to research the people that you're going to meet with at the interview. Review your work experiences. Be ready to support past career accomplishments with specific information targeted toward the company's needs, and have your facts ready. Let's move on. The second tip is the role play. Once you have finished studying, begin role playing, that is rehearsing. Use general questions. Write down answers if it helps to make your presentation more concise. Try to keep your answers to the information your new employer will want to know. So these are some of the important things that need to be done as a part of a rehearsing for the interview before going in to the actual interview venue. The third tip is the eye contact. So maintain eye contact with your interviewer. Show you want the job with your interest. The support tip is be positive. In particular, avoid negative comments about past employers. In fact, this we've discussed several times over. Fifth interview tip is adapt. Let's listen and adapt. Be sensitive to the style of the interviewer. It's very important to mirror the style of speaking as well. So if you have an elderly person who believes in speaking with a slow rate of speech, in this case, you also need to reduce the rate of speech and probably the volume of your voice. The other person might get disturbed, the interviewer might get disturbed if you speak too loudly or too fast. On the other hand, if it's a sales and marketing interview you're having with a very peppy or an energetic kind of manager whose rate of speech is high, who's got a loud volume, okay, and is enthusiastic and excited about interviewing you, then you should also follow suit. You should also raise your voice slightly to match the level, not as much as the person but slightly lower. You should also speak fast, but you should articulate clearly. Pay attention to those details of dress, office furniture and general decor, which will afford helpful clues to assist you in tailoring your presentation. So you will understand exactly what kind of culture does the organization have. The next tip, that is tip number 6, is to relate. So try to relate your answers to the interviewer and his or her company. Focus on achievements which are relevant to that particular position. The next tip is the 7th tip, which is to encourage the interviewer to share information about his or her company and demonstrate your interests. Now we shall look at the essential interview do's and don'ts. Let's first work with the do's. The first thing would be to arrive on time or a few minutes early. If presented with an application, fill it out neatly and completely. Don't attach your resume unless you're told to do so. Greet the interviewer by the last name if you are sure of the pronunciation. If not, ask the employer to repeat it. Project energy and enthusiasm. Smile and shake hands in a firm manner. Wait until you've been offered a chair before sitting. Sit upright. Look alert and interested at all times. Listen carefully and respond crisply and in an articulate manner. Look the hiring manager in the eye while speaking. Early in the meeting, try to get the interviewer to describe the job and duties to you so you can focus your responses on your background, skills, and accomplishments that relate to the position. Be sincere and truthful while focusing on communicating your specific professional achievements that relate to the accounting or finance job openings. Keep your answers brief and concise. Unless asked to give more detail, limit your answers to 2 or 3 minutes per question. Tape yourself and see how long it takes you to fully answer a question. Include concrete, quantifiable data. Interviewees tend to talk in generalities, so you need to steer clear of any vague elements or any rambling around the bush. So you need to have, you need to speak in terms of numbers. Okay, so there should not be any vagueness in your statements. Unfortunately, generalities often fail to convince interviewers that the applicant has the required assets. Now, assets here mean the informational or the knowledge related assets or the experience related assets. For example, a manager who's got a 10 years experience in IT is supposed to lead a team, is supposed to be well aware of project management aspects, is supposed to be comfortable with foreign and Indian clients, with external and internal clients. So these are considered as the assets that the person has, the qualities. Include measurable information and provide details about specific accomplishments when discussing your strengths. Repeat your key strengths 3 times. It is essential that you comfortably and confidently articulate your strengths. Explain how the strengths relate to the company's or department's goals and how they might benefit the potential employer. If you repeat your strengths, then they will be remembered, and if supported with quantifiable accomplishments, they will more likely to be believed. Prepare 5 or more success stories. In preparing for interviews, make a list of your skills and key assets. Then reflect on past jobs and pick out 1 or 2 instances when you use those skills successfully. So this is extremely important. As a part of more do's, put yourself on their team. Ally yourself with the prospective employer by using the employer's name and products or services. Image is often important as the content. What you look like and how you say something are just as important as what you say. So if you are not convinced or if you don't have the conviction when you're saying a certain thing, then that thing will be doubted. Let us say if you are a very good leader and you've led right from the college days, but if you don't have the confidence and conviction to say so, then it'll all be a waste. Studies have shown that 65% of the conveyed message is non-verbal, which includes gestures, physical appearance, and attire, which are highly influential during the job interviews. So, there was Professor Mehrabian, one of the professors in US, who actually did a lot of studies, okay, in the California University to find out about communication. So he was a guru in communication. In the various surveys done by him and his team, it was found that a whopping more than 60% in a face-to-face kind of a conversation, people trust non-verbal communication rather than the words or the verbal communication. So the words have only a 6 to 7% impact on the speakers. So it's the gestures, it's the non-verbal speech, such as the paralinguistics that they are called, are more important than the verbal the words that are used. So your facial expressions are also important. If you say something with a smile, it leads to better convincing and conviction.